A powerful engine was revving up somewhere on the port side of the Golden Eagle.
They've lifted Christy and the others.
Ryan pushed one of the burly sec-men out of his way. He ran out into the fog, going to the port side, peering past the red navigation light in the gloom. JB was at his shoulder. Oddly, nobody had tried to stop them. A flat-bottomed boat was speeding away, its white wake visible against the blackness of the river. The fog was too thick to make out who was aboard, though Ryan thought that he spotted a splash of brilliant red.
To come in out of the cold, Ryan, my old friend. We have a great deal to talk about.
For a moment, Ryan considered plunging off the bridge into the river, but there were too many reasons not to risk it. The powerful motorboat was gone, and he could easily lose his way in the fog in the enormously wide Sippy. Also, the bridge was around 60 feet from the water.
Please don't make me have you both shot, my dear Ryan.
Slowly, Ryan turned and followed JB into the brightly lit bridge.
Looks like we owe you a vote of thanks for looking after us so well, Captain. Carrying on the great naval tradition, huh?
Won't forget it, Captain. Worth our remembering.
Houston's ruddy face was pale. A line of strain etched deep around his eyes and mouth.
It's not my fault. I don't know. You don't know what they said they'd do if I didn't...
The Magus patted Houston on the shoulder.
There are times a man has to do what other men tell him to do.
The curiously dead metallic eyes turned toward Ryan.
Just the kind of thing our dear mutual comrade the traitor would have said.
Better if you give your blasters to us.
And his knife. The long-honed butcher's blade. And search the armorer with a very special care. I recall his pockets were sometimes filled with delicious toys. Plasecs and grins.
That was then, Magus, and this is now.
JB held out his arms sideways, allowing the Magus to search him.
Wasting time. Those days of explosives and implodes are long, long gone.
Prefer to spend your time with dark-skinned freezies, do you?
Millie's a better person than you could ever be, Magus.
This is so like olden times, is it not? So many memories that we share. Some truths and some false memories. How given we old men are to the vice of lying, Ryan Carter. I have a question for you, my old comrade in arms.
You can ask it. Doesn't mean I'll answer it.
Where's your little boy, Dean? We sadly lost track of him some weeks ago. It would have been so nice to have the mongrel cur of that she-panther, Serona.
Ryan was shaken to the core as he realized how the two Coldhearts had been following him and the others through Deathlands, and how much they seemed to know.
The boy ran away down near Death Valley.
Wolfram nodded, still smiling. He reached to tug out a large black satin kerchief and wiped sweat off his high forehead.
A lie, of course. But we shall find time to ask that, and so many, many questions, Ryan.
Go fuck a dead scabby, Gert.
You will answer. Nothing on this blighted earth is more certain.
What'll make us talk?
JB moved in closer to Ryan, spotting the vein that throbbed across his friend's temple, and the way the great scar on his cheek was purple and twitching.
How to make you talk, friends? If you had wings like Noah's dove, then you'd sail up the river to the ones you love. But you don't have wings like Noah's dove, do you, Ryan Carter? Do you, John Barrymore Dix? No, you do not.
Get to it.
Do you have the private dining room ready, Captain?
Yes.
There will be no need for you to join us, Captain.
Fine with me.
And in another few hours, you will be rid of us forever. Does that not bring a smile to your wrinkled old cheeks, as well as a purse of Jack for your devious aid?
I guess it'll be good to move on without you and all your trouble.
Just fucking tell us what your plan is. You're gonna chill us? Then do it. But you could let the others go.
Do I detect the first teensy sign of begging, Ryan? I think I do. Yes, I think that I do. But it is not necessary.
No?
We will discuss this over luncheon. But be assured that if all goes as my partner and I wish it, then you and the armorer will do us an enormous favor. that will help us to a serious quantity of jack. And at the end of it, perhaps in a month or so, you will all go free. All of you.
Haven't seen any pigs flying by lately. Hard to believe.
Yet true.
It's difficult and dangerous holding the eagle here like this, in thick fog and in the middle of the Sippy. If you gentlemen don't mind, I'd like to get her moving again upriver.
When will we reach the dropping-off point, Captain?
This evening, just before full dark. If all goes well and this damn weather clears, the landing's on the starboard side of the river, about 5 miles past the ruins of a burned-out mill. Good landmark.
I had asked you to be discreet about the precise position of our destination, Captain Houston. Telling Ryan and John Dix where we are going is not very discreet. I fear that we might need to give you something of a spanking before leaving your excellent floating gin palace.
I thought that you said it wouldn't matter after you lifted the others and got them safe. Thought that's what you said. Sorry if... real sorry.
We're wasting time. The captain's right, Gert. Unless they want their friends tortured slowly to death, they'll do as we say.
What is it you want?
Over some food, I think, my old comrade. Over some food.
Wolfram sat at the head of the table in an ornately inlaid mahogany carver that looked as if it had been built with someone of his bulk in mind. Lamega sat next to him, bolt upright, limiting himself to vegetables, some creamed squash with fresh peas, and a dish of baked eggplant with a layer of cheese on the top. Ryan faced Wolfram, and JB was across from Lamega. The saloon had a beautiful crystal chandelier. The fog was clearing slowly, and they were moving upstream again, a little faster than walking pace. There were lookouts in the bow and up on the wings of the bridge, as well as a pair of lead men working in unison. The first course for everyone but the Magus was wafer-thin layers of smoked salmon with lemon, and elegant slices of brown bread and butter, with the crusts cut off, followed by a bowl of thick, rich soup made from lentils and shredded carrots. The fish course came after, delicious fillets of fresh trout, covered in breadcrumbs and baked with sweet potatoes and lima beans, with a rich cream sauce that was flavored with coriander and nutmeg. Wolfram would have taken the edge away from the voracious Jack in a dining contest, easily finishing 2 portions of each plate offered. The silent waiters next served a round of delicate fruit sorbets, decorated with thin slices of fresh strawberries and melon and guava. The meal was eaten without conversation. Now that they knew where their destination was, 5 miles past the burned-out mill, Ryan considered whether they might try to break for it. But the Sekhmen were armed and watchful, while Ryan and JB had lost their weapons.
You are thinking of going over the side if we give you the chance.
Ryan didn't respond, though the man's perception had shaken him.
Waiter, bring out the main course. Surprised that we can keep on second-guessing you, Ryan? We've been studying you for long enough. Know the way you'll jump. But you mustn't bother about trying to escape. No need.
The main meat course was a large turkey, stuffed with a chicken, stuffed with a quail, with an array of mixed vegetables, including pumpkin and superb roasted potatoes, golden brown, with a thick gravy.
I believe that the time has come to explain our plan, has it not, Magus? Serve yourself to your veggie meal while we attack the luncheon specialty of the Golden Eagle. Captain Houston has done us exceedingly proud and has well earned his reward. Not much to it, actually. We're going to keep Christy, Jack, Mildred, and Duck snugly locked up, well-fed and unharmed, while you help us with a matter of business. And then they go completely free once you've done what we're asking from you.
The Magus took out one of his metal contact lenses in order to wash it carefully in a goblet of water. The shadowed socket appeared to hold the remnants of an eye, bloody and cavernous, though Ryan was sure that he could make out tiny wire filaments in the darkness. Ryan considered removing the patch over the raw socket of his